Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, I can't get over it. So low, I can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, can't get over it. So low, can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Hello again, and welcome to this holy half hour here on 3TFM with me, the Reverend Alec Noble, Minister of Saltcoats North Parish Church. Tonight we continue with our series of programmes in which we meet ministers, priests, pastors and rectors from the various branches of the Christian Church. There is only one Christian Church, but the family tree has many branches. There's only one Christian family, but the family members have different characters and characteristics. We've all got different styles of worship, outlooks, priorities, ways of thinking and ways of doing things. So the point of this series is to gain a better insight into what makes each other tick and get a better understanding of each other. So tonight we welcome a Christian sister from the Scottish Episcopal Church. She's the Reverend Canon Jeanette Jenkins, who has worked for many years in St Andrew's Episcopal Church in Ardrossan, up until this year when she moved to Holy Trinity in Ayr. So, welcome, Jeanette. It's nice of you to come into the studio tonight. And how are you today?
I'm very well, thank you, Alec.
Good. And can you just fill us in a wee bit about your background? You're the Reverend Canon Jeanette Jenkins. What does canon mean?
Right. I often say that canon is a sort of something that goes with grey hairs. It's a title that's accorded sort of senior clergy in the diocese, to those of us who have some experience, have been around perhaps for a long time. But I'm actually a canon of the cathedral in Glasgow, St Mary's Cathedral, the Episcopal Cathedral. I'm a member of the cathedral chapter. But we have a sort of responsibility to work to the bishop as advisors to the bishop, or perhaps to oversee what's going on in the cathedral.
So you're kind of based there and you do outreach down here in Ayrshire, is it?
Well, no, I think I'm more based here and we do a bit of outreach up there. Does sound better?
It sounds better from an Ayrshire point of view. And you've been working for quite a number of years at St Andrew's in Ardrossan?
Yes, I've been a member of St Andrew's Ardrossan since 1973. I started training for the ministry, what was called non-stipendiary ministry.
You mean voluntary, you don't get paid?
Don't get paid. I started training in 1982. And this next week, the 29th of October, it will be 25 years since I was made a deaconess.
Congratulations.
Thank you. At that time, the Episcopal Church didn't ordain women. Deaconess was a pastoral role. So that was a very special occasion in St Andrew's Ardrossan and one of the first in the diocese. So it was special for all of us.
When it comes to ordination, are you one of the very first people
yes,
to be ordained in the Episcopal Church?
Yes, I am. Right. Yes. And I'm the first woman canon in the cathedral as well.
Very good. So how is it for you in a man's world?
I've never had a problem personally. I was ordained deacon, which is for the Episcopal Church is the first stage of ministry, of ordained ministry, in 1986 when our synod agreed to the ordination of women, and there were only three of us at that time in the diocese. I personally have never had a problem, and I've always felt that, well, if this is where God wants me to be at this point in time, it was 1994 before we were actually fully ordained as priests, so I had a long wait in between, but I had a very fulfilling ministry at that time.
Have you found any problems with people saying a woman shouldn't be ordained? You know?
Oh, yes, yes. Uh-huh. Even today, there are one or two people who won't take communion from me because I'm a woman, but I got on very well with them apart from that, but if I'm leading the service, they won't take communion.
What would you say to folk as the reason why you can justify a woman being ordained? What would you say to these people?
I think that we all have a ministry, and I came up out of the congregation by, in a way, the congregation supported me and helped me. And I think that when we, the main problem comes with this, the consecration of the elements at communion. That's the main problem that people have. And at that point, I feel that I'm not there as a woman. I am there as a priest who is representing the whole congregation, and it's something we do together. But I do respect people having different views from mine.
Why would it be that people have less problem with you preaching the word, but more problem with you dispensing the sacrament?
I think it's to do with people's view of the sacrament and how they see it as being, you know, or Jesus chose 12 men to follow him, not women. And I also think they see it as you are representing Jesus at that point. And perhaps it's a gender thing. I don't know. It is strange. As a deacon, where I was using what we call the reserved sacrament, people didn't have a problem. But when I'm actually consecrating, but it is a problem that's going away. It's only one or two people that I still personally have a difficulty with. But as I say, I respect their opinion.
Well, we'll come back to some of these issues, but I've asked you, to, like I do with all the guests in this series, to bring in some music to give us a flavour of your denomination, your background tradition. So what's your first piece of music tonight, Jeanette?
My first piece of music is being quite traditional. I like the old hymns, and my first piece of music is Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven. I think the words glorify God, but they also remind us that God is a Father who is there to care for us and watch over us. And I'm very fond of this hymn. Right.
And it's sung by the King's College Choir. So I'm interviewing the Reverend Canon Jeanette Jenkins of the Scottish Episcopal Church. So Jeanette, tell us a wee bit about the Scottish Episcopal Church.
Perhaps, Alec, you wouldn't mind if I start by trying to dispel a myth. In the west of Scotland particularly, the Scottish Episcopal Church is often referred to as the English Church. and it isn't. It has nothing to do with them at all. The Scottish Episcopal Church is as old as Christianity in Scotland. It's going right back to St Ninian and days like that. Much of the history of the Scottish Episcopal Church is tied up with the Jacobites and the politics of Scotland. The church was very prevalent up until the sort of early 18th century, and then through all the Jacobite rebellion and so on, the church and the Presbyterian system coming in, the church suffered a great deal because the bishops still prayed for the true king, as they called it. And it was really into the late 19th century that the Episcopal Church began to emerge again. Part of the reason I think it gets called the English Church is that a lot of English people came up here to work, like at ICI and other places, and of course the church grew because of that. But our history goes way back.
Is that because you're a bit like the Church of England in style?
We're part of the Anglican Communion, and Scotland, actually, the Scottish Episcopal Church has a big part to play in that.
Can you explain Anglican Communion?
Right. Well, if I say back in, I think it was, again, 1800 and something, I can't remember the exact date, don't ask me to work that one out, we consecrated the first bishop in America, for America, Samuel Seabury. And that really began the Anglican Communion. Now, the Anglican Communion is all the sort of churches who follow the Anglican style of worship throughout the world. So it covers something like 70 million Christians, but each province is autonomous, is responsible for its own running and so on. But we will follow. You could go to the Episcopal Church or the Anglican Church, say, in the other side of the world, and you'd be familiar with the worship because
we follow the same lectionary.
We follow a similar lectionary. We follow a similar pattern of worship. So it would be familiar to you. Just, I'm sure, as the Church of Scotland would too.
Yes. How many countries are you talking about?
I don't know that. I know that
we cover... More than 50, maybe.
According to my notes here, it says more than 160 countries in the world.
Right. So there's a strong similarity, but each one's
yes.
kind of independent.
They are autonomous, but they come under the Archbishop of Canterbury as a sort of an umbrella.
Right.
Who he is the sort of... appointed.
So does the Scottish Episcopal Church get on okay with the English Episcopal Church?
They do. The Church of England, as it's called. The Church of England. Oh, yes. We got on with our neighbours.
So anyway, you're taking me through the history and you're now a significant feature on the landscape. Can you explain a bit about the hierarchy of how this works? A minister in an Episcopal Church is sometimes called a rector.
Yes. The incumbent is, or the rector in a charge, yes.
Where do you get the word rector from?
I think it's an English term, actually. Although in England they'd be called a vicar. I don't honestly know where that came from. I can't help you there. I can look it up and find out for you.
And you as a canon, you're not a rector?
No, because I have never worked full-time in the church itself. I've always worked as an assistant within the church.
And then above the rector you have...
Right, but the rector, like myself, would be called a priest. Above that, we have the bishop. In Scotland, there are seven dioceses, with their own bishop. So the Episcopal Church in Scotland is made up of seven dioceses. Above each diocese has its own bishop, but is governed by what we call diocesan synod, which is made up of clergy and lay people. And then the seven dioceses come together under general synod. And they, again, is elected members from each diocese, both clergy and lay.
Right. Well, maybe it's time we had a little bit of music to give us a feel for the worship that you're talking about throughout the Anglican Communion and in the Scottish Episcopal Church.
Yeah. One of the main highlights of the Episcopal Church is its choral background. And we have two sort of main choral services. One would be what we call Matins, which is morning prayer, and the other is Evensong, evening prayer. And I've chosen two pieces of music that would be relevant to evening prayer, Evensong. One is a psalm, which we sing to a Gregorian chant, and the other, the Nunc Dimittis, which is a lovely piece of music from the words of Simeon after he'd met Jesus in the temple, saying, "Lord, Now let thy servant depart in peace.
So Jeanette, tell us a little bit about yourself. Where were you born?
Right, I'm a Glaswegian and proud of it. Born and bred in Glasgow.
And you grew up in Glasgow and went to school there?
Grew up in Glasgow, went to school there, yes.
What did you do when you left school?
When I left school, I went to work in the Inland Revenue.
Oh, right.
I was in the tax office, I hate to tell you.
Like Matthew, a tax collector.
Well, I didn't collect it. I worked out how much you had to pay. Somebody else did the collecting.
So you were working away in that career. So how come you end up from there to being the canon now?
Right. Through my job, when I finished my training, I was transferred down to work in Kingston and Thames in Surrey. I was brought up in the Church of Scotland, attended. For a while when I moved, I travelled to London every Sunday to go to the Church of Scotland. But it was a bit much in the winter, so I tried the local
church. Am I missing
church.
Something? You went to the south of England, so how did you go to the Church of Scotland?
In London, there was a Church of Scotland in London.
Oh,
and
right.
I travelled up there to the service every week. But as the winter came in, it got too much to travel. And I found I just had to go. I went to the local church, which was Church of England. And I moved, changed denominations.
Right. You came back to Scotland after a good while? Or?
Yes, I met my husband when I was down there. And we came back to Scotland in 1966. Lived in Paisley for a while and then came to Kilwinning in 1971, where I have been ever since and still am.
So when you came back to Scotland, where did you work at?
I didn't at that. Well, came back at first, I worked in an accountant's office and then back to the revenue. And then I left work when I've got two daughters and I left work when my oldest daughter was born.
When did you feel the call to the ministry? At what stage here?
Probably, I've always been part of a church family. I've grown up in the church. And I think around the 1980s, I became more aware that I was getting more and more involved. Like, I'd always taught Sunday school, help with the Life Boys, believe it or not, and was part of a youth group, always. And I went back to teaching Sunday school and doing some pastoral visiting, and felt that I liked the pastoral side of the ministry. I felt that was what I particularly wanted. And so I began to train at that point, which was about 1982, I think I
but
said
the
before.
The spiritual journey was just a gradual evolving.
It's been a very, yes, it wasn't a Damascus Road experience.
Yeah.
It's been a very growing throughout my life, probably.
So when did you get ordained?
I was ordained deacon in 1986, the 6th of August 1986, and then priest in 1994.
And where all have you served then?
Basically, I worked as a pastoral assistant in Ardrossan for a while, but then in 1986, I went to work at Crosshouse Hospital as assistant chaplain. I always felt I wanted to work with people. I didn't want to run a church. And then I was very, very privileged in 1991 to go to the Ayrshire Hospice as their first chaplain, and I was there till I retired in 2002.
Their first ever chaplain?
Yes.
For the brand new hospice?
Yes. That was my...
And you
I
were
was
there
very
12 years or something?
12 years in total. And it was a full-time... I went for 10 hours a week to begin with. Within a couple of years, it had become a full-time job. And a very privileged job, and exactly what I felt I was called to do. Mm-hmm. And my faith definitely has matured through that experience, and something I will never forget.
We haven't really time to go into all of this, but
no.
You were a hospital chaplain, a hospice chaplain, and you've been in a parish.
Yes.
Out of all of that, I won't ask you what was your favourite one, but...
I think that's obvious, isn't it?
Dealing with people in the different context, was there any particular observation about that? Like, ministers will often say you get a better conversation at a hospital bed or at a deathbed than you
I
do in an average conversation in an afternoon.
Yes, I think you do. I think the afternoon conversations are very important, though, to let people get to know you so that you're a friend and not a stranger. But when people are at crisis points in their life, they open up much better to you and you become part of that. And that's a real privilege, ministry, to have, very much so that you become part of their family for that time in their lives.
Yeah. So would you like to introduce your next song? Because you were saying to me this means a lot to you personally.
Yes, I think I mentioned earlier that on the 29th of October, I will be 25 years since I was made deaconess, and that was at the service in Ardrossan. And this is next piece of music is one of my favourites. And I persuaded the choir that night to sing this at that service for me, and it's Jesu, Joy of Man's Desiring.
Sung by Kiri Te Kanawa. So, Jeanette, tell us a wee bit about what worship is like in Holy Trinity Air or St Andrews and Ardrossan. If folk walked in off the street to Episcopal worship, what would they notice?
Perhaps, first of all, the structure of the worship. We have a Eucharist or Communion every Sunday. So our worship on a Sunday starts with the ministry of the Word, and then there's the ministry of the sacrament following on. So perhaps that would be strange for some people to have the two together, but it's an essential part of Anglican worship.
Why do you feel so important to have communion every week?
I think we meet with Christ every week at the altar rail. We're not only with Christ, but those who have gone before us and those who come after. It's the communion of saints. Mm. To me, it's important to, and that's one of the things that attracted me to the Episcopal Church, was regular communion.
And you have a fixed sort of liturgy. You work from a book. And
we do. We have a sort of set form of liturgy, but we can adapt and take options in and out. And we have a very wide range of music, and that would change, and very wide range of styles. Even in Ayrshire, you could go into two Episcopal churches, and although you basically would have the same service, they would be totally different.
You have the modern and the traditional. And
yes, we have the charismatic and the evangelical. And
the high church and the low church. And formal and informal.
Indeed. And in Scotland, we need to be able to meet both ends of the spectrum in one place, perhaps, because we don't have that number of churches.
Yeah, we're all trying to square the circle and please all the people all the time. Right, what's your next piece of music?
My next piece of music is simply to illustrate the breadth of music that we enjoy, and it's Be Still for the Presence of the Lord, a modern hymn sung by Alan Jones.
Be still for the presence of the Lord, the Holy One is here. Come bow before him now with reverence and fear. In him the sin is found, we stand on holy ground. Be still for the presence of the Lord, Holy One.
So Jeanette, our time will be up soon, so I just want to cram in a few quickies here with you, although they're biggies as well. The Episcopal Church's views on baptism. Do you baptise babies?
We baptise both infants, or we would do adult baptism as well.
And you do communion every Sunday, you were saying?
Yes, and midweek. We usually have one service midweek as well.
All right. And you have priests, but unlike the Roman Catholic Church, they're not celibate.
That's correct, yes. They can marry.
Yeah. And there's a bit of a hierarchy. You've got priests and bishops. And
yes, and
but you don't have a pope.
Oh, no. No, and we don't have an archbishop either in Scotland.
You've the Archbishop of Canterbury somewhere in the story.
Nothing. No, has no authority over us at all.
I thought you said he was head of the Anglican Communion.
Nominal head.
Oh, nominal. We've only got about seconds to do this then, but you know, the homosexual debate is in the headlines, and it's Episcopal Church that seems to be
the
seen
Anglican
as the church that has
struggling.
The difficulty with it, although everybody does.
Yes.
I'm not sure what to ask you that in a few seconds, but do you feel the Episcopal Church is more fussed about it than anybody else? Why would that be?
I don't think we're more fussed about it than anybody else. I think it's hit the headlines because of the business there's been in the Anglican Communion with America. But I don't think it's causing that much of a disturbance. I think it's a debate we all need to have openly at some point.
And are there other particular issues that get Episcopal people excited?
Yeah, we're very involved in overseas mission and outreach. We have links with, you know, other churches abroad. Justice and peace and youth work, we are all issues that we're all trying to deal with.
Well, Jeanette, I'm afraid our holy half hour has run out on us. It's been a pleasure to have you in the studio, and we thank you very much for giving us a greater understanding and an awareness of the Scottish Episcopal Church's life and worship within the context of the wider church. So what music have you chosen to play us out with?
Well, I wanted to finish with a blessing, as that's part of our tradition, and I've chosen a Gaelic blessing, and we have Alan Jones singing Deep Peace of the Running Wave to you.
Thanks very much.
Thank you, Alec.
Of the running wave to you, deep peace of the flowing air to you, deep peace of the quiet earth to you, deep peace of the shining stars to running.